Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, my name's Dave. This is Pete.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this timeless podcast. This is episode 9 of Friends with Friends.
Nine.
We're really pumping them out, aren't we now?
Yeah, we are. We're doing all right.
This is the podcast where we invite our friends to talk about their favourite episode of the 90s and early noughties sitcom, Friends. And shall we meet this week's guest slash friend, Peter?
I would love to.
This week's friend on Friends with Friends is the wonderful model and actress, Lucy Pinder. Lucy, how are you?
I'm good. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. So let's talk about Friends. Talk about your history and relationship with Friends in general.
My love of Friends. Yeah. So I think when Friends first came out, I think I was about 11, and I didn't get massively into it when I was younger, and my sister and like her ex-boyfriend were really into it. Mm. And then as I got older, I had like a wave of newfound love for it. And then when it was on, like it was on every Sunday, wasn't it, for years?
Yeah.
And it just got to the point where I think I might have watched Friends every day.
I think that's probably true of everybody we've had on so far.
Yeah, I think so.
Whether it's still, it feels like a weird thing to confess, doesn't it? Like, I just watched it every day.
Literally.
But I think everybody did.
And it's just that thing that if nothing else is on, I was like, oh, Friends is on. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, you knew it was there, don't you?
Yeah.
But I don't think we have that excuse anymore, because it used to be that, oh, there's nothing else on TV. And now I actively put it on Netflix.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I'm sitting
much.
Down. I'm just like, oh, I'll just watch a bit of Friends.
Yeah. No, it is. And it's really like, it's my favourite thing if you're a bit hungover at the weekend. It's like a little, it's like a friendly hug through the television, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just, yeah, got slightly obsessed. And I'm kind of suspicious of people that don't like it.
Mm. Absolutely.
And I know that that's, you know, that's your prerogative if you're not a fan of Friends. But one of my best friends, Abby, she hates it. And it's a problem.
Why does she hate it?
I don't know. I think she finds it a bit saccharine and a little bit twee. I don't, maybe she's just dead inside. I don't know. But yeah, if anyone kind of goes, oh God, I think it's one of those things that people sometimes think that they're a bit too cool to like.
Right.
And it's like, you know, we need a little bit of twee and a bit of fun in our lives.
Oh, God.
That's what we get from Friends.
In this bleak times of your life. We just need a bit of fun, guys.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your favourite episode of Friends then.
Oh, this was so difficult.
Was it? Talk us through the selection process.
Okay. So I think this was the first one that came to mind.
Right.
And it's the one where everybody knows.
Everybody finds out.
Everybody finds out about Chandler and Monica.
Yeah.
So that was kind of... But then when I started thinking about all of the episodes, there are so many. Like, I love the double... I love the Chandler and Monica's wedding, just because there's lots going on.
Mm.
So many from kind of season 5, where Ross just gets funny. Like, I remember in the first couple of seasons, just really disliking Ross, finding him so irritating and whingy and literally being my least favourite character, to now going to like my favourite. I think David Schwimmer grew his hair out and got funny.
The interesting thing about this episode, like, we'll come on to into a moment what Ross is up to in this episode. He's not the main factor in this episode, and yet he has one of the best moments in it in the apartment, which we'll come on to in a
Absolutely.
Bit. But that's a sign that David Schwimmer was hitting his prime.
Yeah.
It's not even all about him, and yet he's one of the things that I love most about this episode.
Same here. Just the couple of little bits with him coming in are genius. And he literally went from being my least favourite character to around season five. He just got really funny. I don't know if they just decided, you know, Ross is way too whingy and way too irritating.
Right, yeah. It's amazing how often we find ourselves talking about Ross on this podcast. Yeah.
He's literally my favourite.
Isn't it strange? But some people, I think he's either your favourite or your least favourite, depending on who you are.
Or both.
But
Depending on different times.
Exactly, right. Depending on different times of friends. But ultimately, everybody, we just end up talking about it, don't we, Pete? All the time. We never talk about, like, Joey.
Conversation comes around to Ross.
Always comes back to Ross.
All about Ross.
All right, well, let's talk about the one where everybody finds out then, shall we? I'm going to give you the official plot summary, as per usual.
Fantastic.
This is season 5, episode 14. I've just realised we've got loads of... It's directed by Michael Lembeck. Everyone thrilled with that?
Thrilled.
Am I supposed to know who that is?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, For God's sake, Pete, you call yourself a fan.
Ah, Michael Lembeck, yeah.
I just realised that it always tells me who the director is and I've never acknowledged them. And maybe that very bad of me. So
very
Michael Lembeck, well done on some wonderful direction and a good 27.7 million viewership.
Oh, maybe he's the key to the funny Ross.
Exactly.
You should keep an eye out.
Okay, keep an eye out on Lembeck.
Yeah.
Okay, plot summary. Season 5, episode 14, the one where everybody finds out. It's a sad day as Ugly Naked Guy is moving out and Ross decides to apply to sublet his apartment. Phoebe finds out about Monica and Chandler after seeing them through Ugly Naked Guy's window, and although Joey's happy that they can now confront them, Rachel and Phoebe instead decide to pretend Phoebe is romantically interested in Chandler so as to make them confess. Monica and Chandler realise something's up, so they play along. Ross finds out that quite a few people are interested in Ugly Naked Guy's apartment, so goes to extremes to win him over. Eventually, the competition between Monica, Chandler, Phoebe and Rachel comes to a head. Chandler and Monica admit they love each other. Despite this, they still wish to keep their relationship a secret from Ross, but it isn't long before he finds out too. That is the... That's quite a long one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite
there's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on in this episode. I love it.
So it's a strange one, isn't it? Because there's sort of these two plots going alongside, Ross in the apartment and the sort of war between Monica and Chandler and Phoebe and Rachel. But they kind of intertwine because they all start with this apartment viewing at the start. So if we go right back to the start, the beginning bit of this episode, they're all in the apartment and they see the Ugly Naked Guy's moving out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ross decides, oh, maybe I'll just move in then.
Desperate
Which
to have
was
it.
A bit of a snap decision from him. I mean, we know he's looking for an apartment, but his technique for finding an apartment seems to be looking out the window and hoping someone's moving out.
That'll
do. Yeah. Oh, someone's moving out there. So I'll go and check it out. And so they go and he goes and looks around the apartment. Here's my first thing. No one's showing them around the apartment.
I know. He just turns up, doesn't he?
Ross, Rachel and Phoebe are all in this guy's apartment. He's not moved out yet because there's boxes everywhere.
Yeah, but we don't know. See, this is television land, Dave, though, isn't it? They might have just got the keys, got there early.
Yeah.
The estate agent might have said, let yourself in.
Just go for it.
We don't know. You're thinking too deeply into this.
I am, because I've never looked around an apartment or a flat where they've just gone, the keys
just,
under the mat, guys. Pop in whenever you want. Doesn't matter if he's
in
or not.
Would it make you feel uncomfortable if you knew that someone, like, if you knew that someone spent so much time in that apartment before you looked at it? Like, because I would feel weird moving into somewhere which I knew me and all of my friends had a thing about someone being naked in it. Do you know
what
I mean?
Right, yeah, they've watched for years.
But
this...
Pete, it depends how much you love the apartment, doesn't it? You know, location, location, location.
True, and it is a very nice apartment, he makes a point of saying.
Do you reckon he gave it a big deep clean when he moved in?
Yeah, steam clean.
I would hope so.
Steam clean?
Steam clean.
Is that how you get rid of nakedness?
I think that's how you get rid of germs.
Is it? Top tips from Lucy Binder. Steam clean if you move into a flat. So they're looking around the apartment and then they look out the window and they see Chandler and Monica.
When they just start screaming and going mental. But where's Ross gone?
Right.
Like they're screaming a lot.
Right.
And Ross comes
so
in.
So Rachel,
where's he gone?
I think Rachel goes to the bathroom. Ross goes to fill out an application.
Yeah, he goes to get a form or something, doesn't he?
I think this is another thing that I find watching Friends loads. I don't understand the process for finding apartments. They always seem to, and I don't know if it's just a plot device in a sitcom, but they always seem to have to go off and fill in a form as if you're just like buying something at a shop and it's like, I'll have that one.
Yeah, I'll take that.
You know, I'm at Argos. But so Ross has gone off. Chandler and Monica, what are they playing at?
I know, doing it in front of the window.
Right. So
they are asking for trouble, aren't
asking,
they?
I think they want to get caught.
They know that Ross is looking at that apartment, right? Today.
Do they, though?
I would assume.
Well...
Okay, well, let's presume that, let's imagine they don't know.
Okay.
They're still doing it up against a window in front of an entire building.
Yeah. They're flashes.
Maybe they're doing it in the hope that ugly naked guy is watching them from his apartment.
Yeah, maybe we maybe that's a little like insight into Chandler and Monica being slightly kinky.
Do you know what?
It's a part of that.
Yeah, it's a characterization that we've not really come across before, but maybe they are. Maybe they're just...
Well, they do involve that sock that Phoebe makes in the bedroom. Oh.
But they didn't take it too far. They didn't do it on the balcony.
So they kept it inside.
Yeah.
Kept it indoors.
They're not that kinky.
Kept the temperature high. Went on them to catch a cold. But no, I mean, so we're recording this in my apartment, and I live opposite another building. Very much.
We're basically in Friends.
We're basically in Friends.
For ugly naked guys.
I was just telling Lucy, Pete, before we started recording, that the sort of apartment directly opposite me, which is kind of like akin to the ugly naked guy, I have a guy that just always irons.
I think it's his job. I think he's an iron angel.
Yeah, I think...
Professional ironer.
Yeah.
Since he moved in, his ironing board has been permanently set up, and every night he's ironing for 3 to 4 hours.
I mean, if the worst thing you see from looking out of your window is somebody ironing, I mean, there could be plenty of...
Oh, it could be so much worse.
Disappointing, if I'm honest. Yeah, I can see into loads of bedrooms, and I've never seen anything good. At least iron naked.
Jesus. Oh, don't iron naked. No. That could go horribly
risky.
Wrong, couldn't
I've
it?
I've done that once. Ooh. Well, not naked, but just topless when you're ironing a shirt in a rush. And yeah, if you get a bit of the,
iron naked, kids.
Don't iron naked and steam clean for germs. We're full of tips on this episode today.
Full of life skills.
But yeah, so I've got Iron Man. They've got Ugly Naked Guy. And yeah, they're very careless, aren't they? They're just having sex in front of loads and loads of people.
They get carried away in the moment, Dave.
I'm nervous about walking into my apartment, into my living room naked in the mornings, just in case 100 people might see me accidentally as they're having their breakfast. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that guy you see ironing is doing a podcast right now saying, there's this guy who always walks in and irons topless.
Oh no, what if I'm their ugly naked guy? Imagine you're being referred to as ugly naked guy by someone else.
It is quite a mean-spirited thing, and I don't say this as a angry millennial looking back at Friends, but to define someone as ugly naked guy, I think that is kind of like intrinsically mean.
A little bit mean.
They could have just said naked guy, couldn't they?
Yeah.
But the thing is, this is like, because you do auditions, you're an actor.
Yeah.
They've obviously, this is the first time, isn't it, that we see Ugly Naked Guy ever?
Yeah, we see him from behind.
We never see him from the front.
Never
though,
see him from the front.
Always from behind.
There's an episode in the first season where you see sort of his belly when they're poking him with the giant poking device.
Yeah.
But I don't think you ever actually...
God, they make his life hell, don't they?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no wonder he's bloody moving.
Yeah, they're calling him Ugly Naked Guy.
They
he's like, I've
him
got
out.
Six perverts on the other side of the street.
Him.
Poke me, looking at me, staring at me. But what's the casting call for that? They've literally gone. If you're an actor and you're like, I'm just auditioning to be an ugly naked guy from the back only.
Wow.
You're not going to get your face in this.
No, but that's better, surely, because they're like, well, you're not ugly, so we won't shoot your face.
Is
Do you know what I mean?
Would you so all right,
would
imagine
you, if it, you were ugly naked guy or ugly naked girl and they were like, oh, we're not gonna get your face, and you'd be like, oh great, so I'm not ugly enough to be ugly naked guy.
I'm just fat enough.
Yeah, but he's ugly. Not. Yeah, but they don't call him fat, do they?
No, but I think it's implied,
come
isn't
on,
it, that
it?
He's a chubby man from behind.
Yeah.
I can hear Pete typing, and I know that he's Googling who
do you
plays
know what I'm
ugly
doing?
Naked
Are you looking
guy.
For who plays
I'm trying to find who the person who is ugly naked guy is, and I have found him. It says. Says portrayed by a man called John. It's Haugen. What do you think that is? Haugen?
John what now?
Haugen.
Yeah. Haugen. Yeah.
Haugen.
And I am now...
Oh, did you just get what I got? I just typed in John Haugen to Google and the top hit result is John Haugen jailed for murdering someone.
Whoa. Oh no, I didn't get that.
I think that might be a different
it's
one.
A different
Imagine
John
if that
Haugen.
Is the same.
I've found a Telegraph article and the headline is Friends Ugly Naked Guy Actor Uncovered. It was the best time of my life.
Oh, see, he loved it. And he's definitely not the murderer.
No, different
okay.
guy.
I'm
different
pretty guy. Sure he's not, yeah.
Let's hope so.
Oh, there we go. That's him from the front.
He says, the reason I never came forward because I was just keeping it mellow because Warner Brothers was keeping it mellow. They wanted everybody to guess who I was. Well, they would literally never have guessed.
No.
Oh, so they didn't ever credit him on the show at the time, is that what he's saying?
No, and yet his name is on the Wikipedia, so it's been found in hindsight. But can I read you a paragraph from this article?
Please do.
His first appearance was during season three, when the friends become so fearful for Ugly Naked Guy's welfare after he appeared motionless on the sofa that they prodded him with a giant pole made of chopsticks. Horgan recalls, "It wasn't painful. The hard part was just holding my breath."
Oh, love him.
I tell you what, I've got a lot of respect for the Friends production team that they had the same guy.
Yeah, like, I would have thought they would have got different people in.
Because that's two seasons apart, and the first time you literally just see a belly.
It says it was like almost 2 o'clock in the morning when we were filming that part. Why are they filming that in two in the morning, by the way? I was real tired because we'd rehearsed. We'd rehearsed! It was the last scene, and I just had to make sure I was perfect to get everybody out of there to go home.
Bless him.
So when it came to casting Ugly Naked Guy in this episode, someone's gone, I mean, the guy that played the belly last time, he was great. He was perfect in rehearsals. That belly just lay there, motionless.
Oh, I love how much obscure French trivia I've just learned. That's brilliant.
This is one of the absolute joys about doing this podcast is learning about all the minor characters and the minor actors, because there are people that, like, that man has been in the most like successful sitcom probably of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Playing a character that everyone knows. He's not like, oh, I was kid number three in episode 96. Like, and yet none of us know who he is. Oh. What's he doing? What's he doing now?
I think I've exhausted my. Oh, there's a photo of him fishing these days, and he's wearing a Friends cap.
Oh, love him.
Oh, he's wearing a Friends cap and a Rolling Stones t-shirt.
I'm going to read to you the entirety of John Horgan's IMDb.
Do it.
John Horgan is an actor known for Friends, brackets 1994.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all he's got.
Oh, he's smashed
his actor,
it.
He has one credit, two episodes of Friends. One in 1996, one in 1999. That's it.
Love it.
So maybe he's just not an actor.
The other brilliant thing I've just discovered is that in researching this article, the journalist approached the guy who played Mr. Trigger and said, "Hey, aren't you Ugly Naked Guy?" And the guy who plays Mr. Trigger had to be like, "No, it's not me." Like, imagine someone assuming that you were Ugly Naked Guy and they were wrong. You weren't. You were just playing another part.
See, that sort of thing just annoys me about the level of journalism that's gone into that. Like, that's...
Your research.
He's a major character in Friends, guys. We all know who Trigger is.
Yeah.
Livid. Anyway, we've talked about Ugly Naked Guy for quite a long time. Done it to death. And we've just poked him to make sure he isn't actually dead.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
So they are now, Chandler and Monica are out. So everyone knows about Chandler and Monica apart from Ross.
Not Ross.
Right, so Ross doesn't know this stage.
This is what, Friends were quite good at not dragging stuff out too much. And I always love when it, you know, comes to a climax and it's like, Joey knows and Rachel knows, oh, Phoebe knows. But yeah, Ross cannot know.
Yeah.
So they just pretend to be very, very overexcited about him getting the apartment.
Yeah, and he joins in gloriously in some of, like, David Schwimmer's physical acting is some of the best.
So good.
Bit of Friends, isn't
it? The scream is wonderful.
Yeah.
So I referenced The Scream on a previous episode of the podcast. Remember this, Pete?
Yeah.
So that's the exact scream he does when Rachel and Phoebe jump out and shout Unagi inside his apartment.
He's got his standard scream.
Yeah, and it's the exact same scream.
But wouldn't you have the same? I think have we not all got the same scream?
I just don't think I scream very much. Do you know what? I wasn't judging him. I just happened to notice that the exact
like that
same
scream. You know that he has the same scream.
Maybe it's just a scream he does in that apartment because he's both in the same area when he does it.
Yeah.
It's just his
living room scream.
David Schwimmer's living room scream. That's what I'm going to call my next band. So we get into the crux of the episode now, don't we? Phoebe and Rachel know, but they decide they're not going to tell Chandler and Monica.
And Joey's like, oh, thank God, everyone knows. Don't have to.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Like, I cannot keep secrets.
Right.
I love hearing them. If you've got any, tell me, but I will not keep it secret.
I'm just really worried that I've ever told you any secrets now.
Should we broadcast all of Dave Cribb's secrets? No, but it is that thing where, you know, you have to, I'm just not very, I don't like it. I don't like having to, you know, if someone's like, right, I know this, but they don't know I know, so don't tell them I know. And I get really, I don't know, maybe it's a lack of intellect. I'm really bad at putting my foot in it.
Right.
So it is that thing where you're like, oh, Joey just needs everyone to know so that he's not going to kind of
bugger it up. So he's just really worried about, yeah.
But then no, the girls have other ideas.
Yeah, they decide they want to mess with Chandler and Monica. This is a nice moment though, isn't it? Because Joey, in trying to explain why he wants to tell everyone, reveals for the first time the existence of Hugsy,
Hugsy the penguin
pal. I remember watching this for the first time and thinking, that is a throwaway line that's never going to come back.
But it's a whole episode.
It does, yeah.
It comes back for like the whole series, doesn't it? Like the rest of the seasons.
Doesn't it come back really near the end as well when baby Emma wants...
Yeah.
Isn't it Hugsy that she has then? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole Hugsy episode
there. I think Hugsy gets more episodes than Ugly Naked Guy.
100%. Oh, that's a sad... Oh, we don't want to do a graph of that, do we?
Poor John.
Poor John Hogg.
Wonder who played Hugsy.
Wonder if they got a credit. We're not giving John Hauger a credit, but Hugsy was played by Timmy the Bear. So Hugsy's around, Joey's not happy, and then Phoebe and Rachel decide to mess with him. Fine. So they decide the best way to do this is a two-pronged technique where Rachel will
give them
loads of laundry.
Yeah.
And Phoebe will flirt with him. Now, I've got a bit of an issue with the laundry thing. Let's imagine that nothing's happening here. So Ronica and Chandler don't realise yet that they know when they're doing the laundry. Rachel hands them the biggest bag of laundry I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, that is taking
You'd
the piss.
Like,
if your mate was like, can you do my entire month's worth of laundry just while you're nipping down to do yours?
I thought that the other day. I was like, that's a lot, isn't it?
That is a lot of laundry.
It would not have been unreasonable for Monica to just go, no.
I don't have the time to do your bloody laundry. Do it yourself.
We've got our own laundry to do.
Yeah.
Special mention to Phoebe preempting that she'd say she had no quarters and then revealing a huge bag of quarters as well.
Yeah.
Because really
who doesn't
that?
Carry a Very pillowcase organized. Full of quarters around with them?
Is that what it was in? Was it in a pillowcase?
Well, it looks like it's huge. Yeah. It's like a big swag bag.
You'd think that would be the moment where they started suspecting something was up. Phoebe, can we talk about Phoebe's flirting technique with Chandler?
I just love because you can see them both actually trying quite hard not to break character and trying not to laugh when she's dancing towards him. It's like there's a similar, you know, the Ross with the bagpipes one.
Yeah.
It's nice when you just see the actors kind of actually lose it a bit.
I think that is the closest they ever come in Friends to all breaking down when Ross
is
playing the bagpipes.
Celebration.
On the gang, on the
bank. It's also really nice because it's quite a rare bit of Chandler and Phoebe interaction. They
aren't
a duo that spend too much time just together. Obviously, there are people listening nearby, but in the actual
This
room,
is what I think with two, that. Really I really nice. Like those two. And I thought, oh God, they don't actually get a lot of scenes when it's just Chandler and Phoebe interacting.
It's like that episode when there's just Chandler and Rachel with the cheesecake plotline as well. Like that stands out in my head because they don't spend much time together. And this is like Phoebe is brilliant in this scene.
So earlier on in the coffee shop, she decides, she basically lets it know that she likes him by feeling his bicep.
Yeah.
which is bold. Just go for it. Grab the bicep, give it a squeeze, say hello, Mr. Bicep.
Mr.
Thrilled,
Bicep.
Thrilled with that as a technique. If anyone ever needs a flirting technique, I think you'd be hard pushed to find anything more effective than that.
I'm going to use this from now.
Chandler completely falls for it. Monica, she's just sort of like, this doesn't make loads of sense that she'd fancy you.
I love the ongoing joke that Monica is convinced it's not real because she's so sure Phoebe wouldn't find Chandler attractive.
Yeah.
And that comes up three or four times, and each time it's really like damaging to Chandler, and it's brilliant.
It's just like he's a bit crushed.
That's it. Before she even suspects that there's a reason that Phoebe's doing this, instinct is like, another woman is never going to fancy you, basically, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, there is no chance in hell. I remember your old ones, Janice. I mean, you know, that's your level, mate.
Yeah.
Another woman.
Stay in your box.
Yeah, yeah. And
but
she's
that's
just
why it's so lovely when she sees it and she's like, oh, she knows. Like, this is the only explanation why she just did that.
Don't you just feel for Chandler?
Oh.
Don't you just feel for him?
But then he kind of knows. Yeah. He's like, yeah.
It's kind of true, though, as well.
It's kind of true, but your wife is the one person, your girlfriend, is going, it's implausible, darling, that anybody else will find you attractive. Just so you know.
That's true love.
Yeah. You're lucky you've got me.
Oh, I love it.
So they're doing that. Ross is doing that. They suspect that something's happening, and then we get the they don't know, we know, we know, they know tennis.
Yes.
Which, the language in those few lines is great as well. It's very intricate.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is one of just the most memorable lines from all of Friends.
Well, this is that one episode. There's little catchphrases that I still use that are directly from Friends. When someone gets it, I love it.
Yeah, I think that's how you just know you've made your friends, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the basis of this whole podcast, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally that. So, yeah, there's that one. You don't know, we know, they know, we know.
They don't know, we know. They don't know that we know that they know that we know.
Is that it?
Hang on.
Well, I'm going to have to do the maths. They don't know. That we know, they know we know. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I get it right?
Do you know what I mean, though? When she says it, it makes sense to you because you're in on it all and you know exactly what she's trying to say.
Yeah.
And obviously, Joey finds it confusing, but Joey is hugely incompetent. So.
But this is what the other thing I love about this episode. If you'd never, ever, if you were mad or possibly from another dimension and had never seen Friends before, that episode kind of shows all of their characters off really well.
Yeah, it really does showcase what they're each about, don't they? Yeah. Chandler's like neurotic and insecure about himself. And then, Joey is, what is this, season 5, isn't it? So he's on his midway through his, we've been tracking this a lot, Lucy, on the podcast.
Okay.
Joey's descent into just baffling stupidity.
Yeah.
From it's really spectacular.
Season 1, where he makes some like quite clever jokes.
Yeah, they just decide that he's really stupid.
Teaser right at the end where he just, he can't make noises properly, you know, without something going awry. This one, I feel like, is a perfect half and half because he doesn't get a lot of it. He's trying to catch up with it. But he also, he's got his wiles about him, hasn't he? My favourite Joey line in this is where he says the stupidest thing he could possibly say because they go, does Phoebe know about us? And then Joey goes, I didn't tell them.
Yeah.
Like, just uses a completely different pronoun. And then he goes, Phoebe and Joey. And that is absolutely peak Joey.
Yeah.
So he's caught in the middle of this whole thing. But then he pushes it along a little bit later. He gets a bra out. Got a bit of strategy behind the eyes there, Joey.
With
like,
the ladies.
I know what Chandler's weakness is here. We're gonna exploit that. So the all that war's basically begun now, hasn't it? They've arranged a date. Phoebe and Rachel go across. Rachel's just stood outside the apartment when Phoebe knocks on the door. And there's a really nice moment where Phoebe goes into the apartment and Rachel kind of tries to sneak in. Do you notice that when you're watching it?
When she like shuts the door on
her. Chandler's shutting the door and Rachel's like almost as if she's gone like, oh, I nearly got in there. It's a shame that I missed the doors. And like, what would have happened?
Just hide.
It reminded me of the Muppets Christmas Carol when Gonzo and Rizzo are trying to like sneak in behind Michael Caine into all of the rooms. And then obviously they are invisible narrators in that. But it's like Rachel's like, I'm just trying to get in. I'm just trying to get in.
Don't mind me.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll just be stood in the corner watching it.
Just watching it all unfold.
Monica's in the bathroom. So it's lucky that Phoebe never needs the bathroom at any point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Monica's chosen the bathroom as the place to hide.
Yeah, and not like Joey's bedroom would be the obvious choice.
Not Chandler's bedroom, obviously, just in case it goes a bit too far.
Yeah.
Joey's bed. Like, what if Phoebe needs the bathroom? And Monica's
it's not
just
very well thought out,
giving the bathroom a clean. I'd like to talk, if I may, about what they've decided to wear for their dates.
He's got a...
So Phoebe's in like quite a sexy dress and she's got like a
boobs
on show.
Isn't it?
Quite lacy, quite like sultry. Chandler's wearing a brown sweater vest over a plain grey shirt.
Yeah, if that's his kind of seducing outfit, that needs a rethink, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
it's no wonder the moniker...
Because not even in the 90s. I don't remember even sweater vests being that kind of in the 90s.
I don't remember any point where... I can't imagine a point where you'd wear that and think this is appropriate date attire.
Come to think of it, Chandler's fashion sense quite... suddenly changes to become normal, though. Like, towards the end, like, he's just wearing, like, shirt and trousers. Like, he looks normal, whereas here he looks dated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think he also didn't start off, like, in the very first... He wasn't as, like, geeky, was he? He was, like, the funny one. And then the minute they kind of put him with Monica, like, to make a bigger deal of... He's the funny one. Let's put him in a sweater vest.
Yeah, he does have a sweater vest phase, doesn't he? Because when they're going to Vegas, that becomes a plot point, doesn't it?
The minute he gets with Monica.
Yeah, just dress him in sweater vests.
Maybe she liked them.
Maybe she made him wear sweater vests to reinforce the idea that no other woman would ever be attracted to him.
So she's trapping him.
She's basically an insecure, controlling...
She's really trying to hold on to Chandler for herself. So, in they go. They start their flirting. Phoebe does
the
dance.
Wine.
The extraordinary dance.
Oh, it's brilliant.
The extraordinary dance and the lunge. And I think if you've not seen this episode for a while, you'll still remember that lunge. But my favourite bit of that is how they get to the dance. So, again, we are sort of led to believe this is supposed to be a real date, right?
Yeah.
So, in that world, they're both sort of trying to pretend it's a real date. And I think the sequence literally goes... They down a glass of wine each, like a whole thing, without talking.
Yeah.
Chandler goes, I'll put on some music. Fine. Still fine. And Phoebe's immediate response is, maybe I'll dance for you.
Also, we mentioned the director earlier. There's also a brilliant moment when they are both taking a swig of the wine and they hold the swig pose for really, really long because they don't want to go back to the awkward conversation. Yeah, exactly. So that is another one of those silent, nice bits of... I can't even remember the director's name, but, you know, well done.
Michael Lembick.
And perhaps he is responsible for the lungy dance move as well. One of Friends' greatest moments.
I mean, actually, I know we joked about Michael Lembick at the start. This episode is between, like, Ross, Phoebe and Rachel doing the dancing and screaming in his apartment... And the Phoebe lunge, and there's lots of excellent physical directing in this. Fair play to Michael Lembick.
Well done. And my favourite line is Chandler saying, and he says, I'm really happy that we're going to be having all the sex. I literally still use that.
Is that what you use on a date?
Is that where I'm going wrong?
And Phoebe has that line earlier when she says, I'm really looking forward to having sexual intercourse.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like this really sort of cold, blunt, I'm coming over and this is happening. And Chandler picks up on that later with that line that you just mentioned as well. It's this whole sort of like formality of them getting down to it.
Yeah, because you remember what Phoebe's response to that is? Chandler goes, I'm really pleased we're going to have all the sex. And she goes, you should be. I'm very bendy.
Yes.
And then that is the moment that they lock up into the almost like wrestling pose where they're sort of just like choreographing this weird ballet before they do the world's most tentative kiss.
Yeah.
And Chandler's reaction to breaking off the kiss as well is also brilliant. Like that noise he makes as he pushes away. He's like, okay, you win.
Yeah.
Like it's this brilliant sort of slow build of I can't do this anymore.
And this is... Actually, one of the most defining moments of any relationship is the first time you say, I love you, right? We all know that. It's a very special moment, quite often a very poignant moment, you know, very sensitively handled. Chandler first says, I love you to Monica by shouting it at Joey, Phoebe and Rachel and pointing across an apartment.
Such a great moment. And then when she comes out, because he hasn't said it to her before.
Yeah, I know.
My cold heart is warmed by that.
It does quickly become quite naff, though, when, like,
Chandler,
I can't remember the wording, but Monica's like, I love you too, Chandler. It's like, gross.
Yeah, bit saccharine.
But yeah, your mate wouldn't like that, would she?
No, she'd hate it.
She'd bloody hate that bit.
She'd go on a rampage about that.
What was her name again?
Abby Lampard.
Abby Abby Lampard would be livid about
she
that.
She would be furious.
Abby Lampard would not be into Michael Lembeck's direction of that really bit of the episode. I'll tell you that for free, guys.
A sentence that would make no sense to anyone at the start of the podcast.
And so we get to the final bit of the episode. It's all wrapped up nicely.
Oh, God, I just love it.
Nobody knows. And we get to the sort of post-roll credit scene where Ross... No. Can someone explain this to me?
So the background of this is the sandwich episode,
The sandwich
right?
episode, right? So he's been signed off work.
For anger issues.
For anger management.
For post-Emily crisis.
Yes.
Yeah, it's big crisis. And I know, and I get that it's funny that he's now getting angry again for a different thing. He's trying to prove that he's not. My question is this.
Why?
Why is his boss?
His boss in his apartment.
In his apartment. Yeah.
The only justification I can think is that he's got the boss over to be like, look how sorted I am. But it's strange to do that in an apartment where you're not really like living in it yet.
Even moved
you're just
in yet.
Showing an empty apartment.
So yeah, I guess that is the thing. It's like, look how I've got my life back together. But I'm not sure that proving you have the ability to rent an apartment is enough to go, I am a really fine human being.
And it's kind of like, you wouldn't just be like, oh, I'm going to meet my boss for lunch and then be like, hey, do you want to come back and look at the apartment I might move into?
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to meet. I don't think they're meeting for lunch. I think he's called him up and going, so let's talk about the anger.
In the apartment I've got
something to show you. And they've walked in and
got a surprise.
In fairness to his boss, he's like, oh, I'm very impressed. Well done. Maybe we should talk about you coming back to work.
Don't dissect it. It's such a great moment. Let's just overlook the massive plot hole.
I think you misunderstood the purpose of this podcast, Lucy. Should we do the quiz?
Oh, yes. Let's do the quiz.
The lightning
round. I wish I could give you some sort of like leaderboard of how well everyone's done, but I'll be honest, I've not been keeping track. So just do yourself proud, Lucy, and it'll be fine.
Oh,
five questions. God. Just, you know, little bits of attention to detail. Okay. See what you can do.
Oh,
if you get three right, I think that's a respectable score.
What if I get none right?
If you get none right, we will just literally press stop. The moment you get the fifth one wrong, we'll just press stop.
Just dead
that's
end
it. Just dead end it. We'll leave it. So if the podcast stops, Lucy is... just disgraced herself. Question one. What does Chandler have to stop eating because of a reference to ugly naked guy's big squishy butt?
Chicken fried rice?
Yes!
One.
Way!
Correct.
The podcast will not be ending suddenly.
There will be an ending to the podcast.
Second question. Who does Phoebe say Monica has been on the phone to a lot while covering her affair with Chandler?
Oh, God.
So it's Monica's alibi.
Yeah.
Monica's alibi.
Now, this is really niche, and I'll tell you, I only noticed this line the second time I watched through this episode today.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it's this. Did
you know this one, Pete?
No. In fact, when I saw the question that you'd written, it isn't a line that I particularly remember from watching the episode about 10 minutes before you'd sent me the question.
Right, exactly.
So, oh, God.
It's a very hard one.
It is. It's a really hard. There's a scene where Phoebe goes to Rachel. So it's like, and all the times we were doing laundry. And she's like, yep. And all the times they were grocery shopping. And then she goes, and all the times she was on the phone too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's really strange because I'd never noticed it before. But it's so, I'm like, who is this?
You're not going to get it. I can see them sat on the couch saying it. Who is it?
Yeah. Sad Linda from camp. Doesn't ring any bells,
no
right?
No recollection.
What kind of phone conversations is Monica having with Sam Linda from camp for her to be able to say that it's like if it's actually Chandler on the other end of the phone?
I just love that that's come to her mind. So she's on the phone to Chandler and Phoebe's gone, who is it? And she's gone, oh, think quick. It's Sad Linda from camp. Yep, Sad Linda from camp.
You don't know her.
You definitely don't know her because she's from camp years and years ago. That's fine.
That was a tough one.
No disgrace.
It was a very hard one.
Okay.
Question three. Apart from mini muffins, name the two gifts people give to ugly naked guy as bribes for his apartment.
A pinball machine.
Is one.
Bigger muffins.
Apart from all the muffins, there's another item.
Oh,
the answer here is a completely impractical gift to give to someone if you'd seen what ugly naked guy looks like, I think.
And also he lives on like the 10th floor of an apartment building.
Yes. It's some sort of sports equipment or something.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, It's some kind of, yeah, some kind of sports exercise equipment, but it's gone out of my head.
It's a mountain bike.
It's a mountain bike.
Imagine. All those New York City mountains.
Yeah, exactly. The Manhattan mountains.
What colour is Phoebe's bra?
It's patterned.
I love, Pete, that you just yelled that.
I like that you
like
sorry, were you not ready
man.
For that question? Did I catch you off guard?
That was brilliant. Was absolutely... I just like that you shouted it.
It was kind of as if you had forgotten we were doing the quiz.
And what just... colour is Phoebe's bra?
It's just my train
it's
of
patterned.
Thought.
Yeah. It's like beige with black patterns on it, isn't it?
I think you couldn't have that.
We'll give you the
it's
pattern. I think it's like a dark blue black and it's got like silvery patterns on it.
Oh, it's the okay. This is the dress.
Yeah.
I just see colour differently, yeah. Okay? So actually I got it right.
Okay, fine. We'll give you the patterns. Okay, and final question. What is the name of Ross's boss?
Oh,
who
I
is
can't
looking
remember.
Around his
I
apartment
remember.
Inexplicably.
Bugger.
Yeah, any guesses?
He's a very mild recurring character. Like he's in a couple of things. Yeah. Obviously he eats the sandwich.
Oh, I can't remember.
Donald.
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 I was thinking Bernard.
Yeah, it's a proper
damn
like
it.
Yeah, it's a good comedy name,
oh,
isn't
two
it?
Two out of five. That's Donald. Shockingly bad.
That's fine, mate. Don't you worry. It's not the worst.
No, it's fine.
Not the worst we've had, not the worst we will have.
Myself.
You have disgraced yourself. Press stop, Pete. Press stop. No, that's it for this episode of Friends with Tens. Thank you, Lucy Pinder.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. It's been an absolute joy.
I did actually say to Dave when I knew what episode we were doing today, superb choice.
Oh,
and I was surprised that it hadn't already come up in the only 8 episodes we'd done previously.
This was the first one that came to mind and I was like, oh, it's definitely been taken. It must have been taken.
No.
You've claimed it.
I claimed it. It's mine.
You've planted your flag.
Mine and Michael Lembeck.
I'd love to get Michael Lembeck on this podcast
Should
at some point.
Yeah, he'd
one
come
day.
On.
One day.
Let's make that our aim,
for
our
sure,
niche
Z.
Aim. Obviously, it goes without saying we get the cast on or, you know, any of them lot. That's
what
fine.
What about John
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want him.
Ugly Let's naked guy. John Horgan. Maybe Pete, when we do our first big live show.
Yeah.
He should be our guest of honour.
Yes.
If he can spare his time in between fishing and wearing cat. And on that note,
thank you for having me.
This episode is dedicated to John Horgan.
He's not died. Bloody
well,
hell,
to be honest,
Dave.
The last I saw of him was 2016, so he could have had a rough 2 years. I don't know.
Anyway, to sum up, we love John Horgan, dead or alive. And thank you to Lucy Pinder.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.